Horace Silver at the piano, leading his quintet with Sister Sadie. It's from his 1959 album, Blowin' the Blues Away. Junior Cook on tenor sax, Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Eugene Taylor on bass, and Louis Hayes on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're going to do what used to be called in my day, my formative years of schooling, comprehension. Yes, we used to have reading and comprehension. And sometimes we didn't do reading, but we certainly did do comprehension just by itself. Before, we used to have a passage that we were required to read and then do the comprehension based on what we read. And then there were times when we just would listen to what was being said, and then came the comprehension part. But we're going back in time a little bit. But I hope you would find it useful, because we are going to be parsing Bernie Sanders' entreaty to the Democratic Party. In an op-ed piece appearing yesterday at NewYorkTimes.com, Senator Bernie Sanders, the longest-serving independent in Congress, although he caucuses with the Senate's Democrats, as you know, took on the Democrats' losing streak. The piece, titled How Democrats Can Stop Losing Elections, argued that the 2016 elections were, quote, a clear manifestation of a failed political strategy by the party, and that, quote, for the sake of our country and the world, the Democratic Party, in a very fundamental way, must change direction, unquote. Sanders points to several, heard many times before, reasons the party could bolster its appeal to voters if it acted aggressively on critical issues of the day, including widespread disappointment with President Donald Trump, income inequality, an unfair tax system, health care coverage for all, criminal justice reform, immigration, student debt, climate change, and many more issues that he says are salient and must be acted upon immediately. But the party's lackluster effort at pushing such issues is also pushing people away, Sanders says. Well, I appreciate Sanders's points, but let me read them to you so you will know what the context is of his comments. So, as I said, it's titled Bernie Sanders, How Democrats Can Stop Losing Elections. And he submitted this. It was printed yesterday. In 2016, the Democratic Party lost the presidency to possibly the least popular candidate in American history. In recent years, Democrats have also lost the Senate and House to right-wing Republicans whose extremist agenda is far removed from where most Americans are politically. Republicans now control almost two-thirds of governor's offices and have gained about 1,000 seats in state legislatures in the past 9 years. In 24 states, Democrats have almost no political influence at all. If these results are not a clear manifestation of a failed political strategy, I don't know what is. For the sake of our country and the world, the Democratic Party, in a very fundamental way, must change direction. It has to open its doors wide to working people and young people. It must become less dependent on wealthy contributors, and it must make clear to the working families of this country that in these difficult times, it is prepared to stand up and fight for their rights. without hesitation, it must take on the powerful corporate interests that dominate the economic and political life of the country. There are lessons to be learned from the recent campaign in Britain. The Conservatives there called the snap election with the full expectation that they would win a landslide. They didn't. Against all predictions, they lost 13 seats in Parliament, while Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party won 32. There is never one reason elections are won or lost, but there is widespread agreement that momentum shifted to Labour after it released a very progressive manifesto that generated much enthusiasm among young people and workers. One of the most interesting aspects of the election was the soaring turnout among voters 34 or younger. The British elections should be a lesson for the Democratic Party. We already have among the lowest voter turnout of any major country on earth. Democrats will not win if the 2018 midterm election turnout resembles the unbelievably low 36.7% of eligible voters who cast ballots in 2014. The Democrats must develop an agenda that speaks to the pain of tens of millions of families who are working longer hours for lower wages, and to the young people who, unless we turn the economy around, will have a lower standard of living than their parents. A vast majority of Americans understand that our current economic model is a dismal failure. Who can honestly defend the current grotesque level of inequality in which the top 1% owns more than the bottom 90%? Who thinks it's right that, despite a significant increase in worker productivity, millions of Americans need two or three jobs to survive, while 52% of all new income goes to the top 1%? What person who claims to have a sense of morality can justify that the richest people in our country have a life expectancy about 15 years longer than our poorest citizens? While Democrats should appeal to moderate Republicans who are disgusted with the Trump presidency, too many in our party cling to an overly cautious centrist ideology. The party's main thrust must be to make politics relevant to those who have given up on democracy and bring millions of new voters into the political process. It must be prepared to take on the right-wing extremist ideology of the Koch brothers and the billionaire class, and fight for an economy and a government that work for all, not just for the 1%. Donald Trump wants to throw 23 million Americans off health insurance. Democrats must guarantee health care to all as a right through a Medicare for All single-payer program. Mr. Trump wants to give enormous tax breaks to billionaires. Democrats must support a progressive tax system that demands that the very wealthy, Wall Street, and large corporations begin paying their fair share of taxes. Mr. Trump wants to sell our infrastructure to Wall Street and foreign countries. Democrats must fight for a $1 trillion public investment that creates over 13 million good-paying jobs. Mr. Trump has withdrawn the United States from the Paris Agreement on climate change. Democrats must take on the fossil fuel industry and accelerate our efforts to combat climate change by encouraging energy efficiency and the use of sustainable energy. Mr. Trump has proposed deep cuts to higher education. Democrats must make public colleges and universities tuition-free and substantially lower student debt. Mr. Trump has doubled down on our failed approach to crime that has resulted in the United States having more people in jail than any other country. Democrats must reform a broken criminal justice system and invest in jobs and education for our young people, not more jails and incarceration. Mr. Trump has scapegoated and threatened the 11 undocumented people in our country. Democrats must fight for comprehensive immigration reform and a path towards citizenship. This is a pivotal moment in American history. If the Democrats are prepared to rally grassroots America in every state and to stand up to the greed of the billionaire class, the party will stop losing elections, and it will create the kind of country the American people want and deserve. Okay, thus saith Bernie Sanders. Now, he obviously means well, because he's been saying these things for quite a while, and they were at the center of his own presidential bid. But, you know, he's also not being honest. He knows that these reasons are not the reasons that the Democratic Party has been losing elections. He knows that. But for one reason or the other, he will not say frankly and boldly and honestly why the Democratic Party continues to lose elections. This is a repeat of things he said before. And he said them as the so-called conscience now of the party. In fact, he himself is a member of the party. He signed on to its agenda, and he has not been suitably critical. I want to reemphasize that, suitably critical of the party. There's a truth he's not saying, several in fact, as to why this party continues to lose elections. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to get your brain cells together, because you're going to tell us why the Democratic Party continues to lose elections. Bearing in mind what I just read, the opinion of Bernie Sanders. This is his own writing. It is with his byline. It expresses his thoughts on the subject. We'll take this break and come back to you at 888-874-4888. And you better have an answer right after this. Horace Silver at the keys. This is okay, let me get it together. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. Would you believe I got through all that I read without my glasses? See, I use them. I use my glasses to hear properly. I put them on every now and then to read. But mostly I hear better when I have my glasses on. So, Do you agree with these reasons that Bernie Sanders has iterated as the reason that the Democratic Party has been losing elections for a while now, and most notably in the last presidential election, which was just a bruiser for the party? We have been talking about aspects of this for many months now, and I think we have other reasons that the Democratic Party has been losing. What is on your mind in this regard? At 888-874-4888. I don't think it has to do much with just the issues. I think there are some other things going on here. And I know the number one reason, and I think you do too. What is the reason that the Democratic Party is failing at getting the support it used to enjoy? What's going on? Can you think of a reason or reasons that Bernie Sanders is a bit off here? This is not to say that the issues that he raised to illustrate his point of view are irrelevant or wrong. They're right on target. But they're also not the whole truth. They're not the whole picture. And he's been deliberately avoiding the opportunity and the necessity to say what needs to be said. There are other reasons for that. But he should be honest, brutally honest, as he is about the president and his policies. This is the time for Bernie Sanders to step forward and say exactly what the truth is, because the party needs to know. Everybody is engaging in full-fledged denial here. We know what some of the major reasons are, but they're not saying it. John from New Jersey, you have the first opportunity today, sir, to say it.
How are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in here, considering the circumstance.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you too clearly. Could you speak directly into the phone?
Considering the circumstances. Did you hear me then?
I can hear you. There's a lot of feedback we're getting, though. But go ahead. We'll cope.
I'll tell you, because Bernie, unlike yourself, is spewing a lot of false hope about the fact that we can turn this runaway train, and we are, in fact, being run over by it, and make it into what it was supposed to be. I don't see how, and I have to say, you keep saying that we have to organize and we have to get together and make groups and do things like that, knowing full well that the moment we do that, they will come down on us like a ton of bricks. You know that, I know that, and most of the other people out here in the good old US of A realize that, because there's just no opportunity here anymore. And I also have to think about the immigrants who continue to come here for the very liberties that we were guaranteed in the Constitution, are coming here for no reason, because those liberties do not exist anymore. They only exist for the people who have the money to buy them. This is where we are, and you know, and I'm not a praying man, but I've been thinking about it a lot recently, because I don't know if there's any hope. And if we don't we don't have anything. I'd like to get off the air.
Let's bring you closer to the subject at hand. I read you his opinion. What do you think is, based on what he has articulated, what do you think he instead needs to say?
Well, he said he used the word revolution, but he was talking about a revolution via the system. And the system is corrupt, and there's absolutely no possibility of that.
But so, he was talking specifically about the Democratic Party. What about the Democratic Party? This is where we need to go. We are reacting specifically to his point of view.
And somewhat seriously have said now for a number of years that the two greatest Republican presidents that we have ever had, the first one was Bill Clinton, and the next one was Barack Obama. Of course, I understand that Lincoln was a Republican before they killed him. But he really, in those days, Republicans were more like Democrats.
John, you're kind of off the subject a bit, and I'm trying to bring you back to it. Here is a senator. He's an independent, but he caucuses with the Democratic Party. He has made a couple of observations about the performance of the Democratic Party, which he said in the piece I read you. He said these, among other things, but these are the more important points as to why the Democratic Party is continuing to lose elections. And that's what I was hoping you would put us as close to as possible, whether you agreed with it or not, and if so, why?
That is because they don't deliver. They have not backed up what they say they are. That's why. Do you understand that?
I do. Thank you for calling and contributing. And you got us started today. Ali, you're next. Why do you think?
Hi, Dries.
How you doing?
Okay. This is what I'm going to say right now. The Democratic Party is losing because of people like me. I refuse to vote for them. You know, they have been...
Me too, as it turns out. You know that I've said this more than 20 years ago. I stopped voting completely for particular reasons, but I no longer vote. I look forward to the day that I would be encouraged to vote, but so far it hasn't happened, and I feel perfectly fine with opting out. So continue. I'm sorry I interrupted you there.
Yes, and that is what happened to them. How many people, especially people of color, they have never delivered, and they will never deliver. And that is why people refuse to be fooled. You know, we have been fooled. When I was younger, I used to go to that machine, go and vote for one line, and you know what line I voted for. So I refuse because, you know what, they will never deliver. That man who was on the line just said, I think his name was John.
John.
He was talking about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton had...
He was being facetious. He says there are only two Republican presidents he admired, and he said it was Bill Clinton and Barack Obama in a cynical way, saying that although, of course, we know that they were Democrats, that their policies were just as... it might as well have been Republican because that's where they leaned. They moved to the right as opposed to the left.
If we look what Bill Clinton did and what Obama did, yes, we can. I mean, what did Obama do to immigrants? He took more people out of this country than any other president. Look at Bill Clinton. I mean, he reset the welfare system. He gave us more jail than any other president. More people are in jail with these two so-called Democrats. I would refuse. I'd rather lose my hands to vote for the Democrats. And Schumer here in New York City, I mean, you have to see what Schumer, he's in the pocket of these real estate developers and giving this city away. I will never vote, and that is the reason that they're losing the election. Because you know what? We just, people of color, have to refuse to go to on that day, any day that they had a voting day, and vote for these people. They have they haven't delivered to us. And they never will. They will never will. Because they are in the pockets of corporations. They take as much money as the Republicans. They are the same. So that's what I have to say. Like people Great. Like me, they will never win. Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. Gee, it's so hard to tell where she stands. But that is, in fact, a major reason that people are so disaffected and fed up with the Democratic Party, because of corruption. How about that, Bernie Sanders? The Democratic Party, the party you chose to ally yourself with and you chose to join as an ambassador, is corrupt. My goodness, they stole the election from you. They stole the election from you. Among the things that he forgot to mention was exactly that point. The party is corrupt. And it had a chance at a comeback if Bernie Sanders' election was not diverted by the party and by other people in the party. We could start right there. Bernie Sanders refuses to acknowledge that the party is corrupt, that it stole the election from him. That's where we could start. All right. Good move there, Ali. Excellent point. Henry from Chicago, how are you doing? Is Henry there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the Hi. Air.
Hey, how you doing, Sharice?
Okay. So what do you say about Bernie Sanders, his opinions as to why the party continues to lose?
Well, some of what you just said a few seconds ago, I was thinking the same thing about, you know, within his own party or within the Democratic Party is why they continue to lose. But the one thing that I keep thinking of, and, you know, I always think about this recent presidential election and how Donald Trump won, was that the Democratic Party lacks clarity in what they want to do. With Donald Trump, you were clear on what he wanted to do, even though, you know, it was very much xenophobic and racist and whatever, but he had a clear plan on what he wanted to do. Whereas with most of these, you know, especially with Hillary Clinton, you're not clear on what she wanted to do, you know. So, and most of it was just, you know, just opposing Donald Trump, or Donald Trump, you know, doesn't, you know, we can't let Donald Trump win. You know, and for a lot of the American people, that's just not enough, you know.
I think you raise an excellent point here. The Democratic Party for quite a while has been, you know, fragmented. It has no consistency of message. It has no consistency of leadership.
Exactly.
And in a vacuum, it created its own vacuum.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, it creates its own vacuum, and then it dissipates its energy because it is not communicating to people where it wants to go. All the points that Bernie Sanders made are whose, would you say?
That, it's basically standard Democratic corporate procedure, if you ask me.
Well, most of the points raised in his op-ed piece were his. Those were his points. The party as a party didn't have a voice here. They didn't have an agenda. They had no consistency of message. These points that he again repeats, that's why I said, you know, these are the often heard points. We've heard them time and again. And we've also heard them time and again from the same person.
Mm-hmm.
What, is he the only person in the Democratic Party? No. They had no message. except we don't like Trump and you shouldn't like him either.
Exactly. And you know, love or hate Trump, you know, the one topic, you know, like, for instance, they ask him about immigration. What does he say? I'm building a wall. Simple as that, you know?
So, you know, when Sanders talks so passionately about the need to, you know, change direction, they can't change direction because they never had an original direction.
Mm-hmm.
First, you need to have a sense of direction where you want to go. And they never communicated that. Candidate A would say this, and then some guy in Podunk would say something else, and then somebody would have a different understanding in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
All Democrats, but not the same message.
Yeah, and like
some
I said,
cases,
like
no message at all. You've been a Democrat. You know us. You know where we want to go. Come on, join the gang. And let's go beat up Donald Trump at the polls.
Exactly. And like I said, lacking clarity.
Lacking what?
Lacking clarity.
What?
Clarity.
I'm being mischievous. It's one of my favorite words, and that's my thing. You have to have clarity.
Yes.
And if you don't have it, and this is what Sanders should say and admit, the party has no clarity about what it wants to do, what it is, what it's looking to accomplish. No clarity whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Henry. Good to talk with you today.
And welcome to the PRN audience. I wish everybody well.
Thank you.
I read this morning in the newspaper Bernie's editorial. You know, it's just like listening, like you said, it's just like listening to one of his stump speeches, really. But every time I hear him, nevertheless, just my background and, you know, the time I was born and everything, I say, oh, you know, that sounds so great. You know, it rings all the bells, pushes all the buttons for a baby boomer like me, you know. And then they say, inevitably, I say after hearing Bernie, I say, well, you know, the perfect can't be the enemy of the good. And this sounds good. But there's a problem, as you point out. He's not telling us the real, true reason that the Democrats lose elections. And he's not telling us the reason when they win elections, there's no improvement. There's no real improvement. And he's not telling us the reason that, the underlying reasons why this is taking place, why they win elections and we lose, and they lose elections and we lose. He's not giving us that. He's giving us what should be. But he's not telling us what is. He's an idealist, and he's got these ideals that he puts out there. And we've been through that. We know that. Of course, the economic system is not right. It's not working. Everything he says. And then he describes what they did in Europe and Britain with the
Jeremy
Labor
Corbyn.
Party.
Yeah.
And he says that could be an example for us. We can follow what they did in Britain with Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour Party won 32 seats, and the other team lost 13 seats. But he's still giving us an ideal, but he's not telling us what is. He's not telling us about the racist policies that we have, which are causing so many people such pain in this country. He's not telling us about the oppression. He's not telling us why he supported Hillary Clinton and how corrupt
Hello?
She is.
Hello?
Absolutely. And that's a major, major point. Right now, in fact, I've been following the case, and we'll report on it very shortly, that I've been in touch with the lawyers and so forth. There's a case in Florida over the stealing of the elections by the Democratic Party from a Democratic Party candidate. Now, that's what do you call that? Is this not a reason that the party itself has collapsed? Because Democratic Party members are being massively assaulted and being robbed of their rightful win. The party, you know what the party's defense is, right? The party's defense in this case in Florida is that the Democratic National Committee has an obligation to run elections, but it has no obligation to run fair elections. That's what it says.
Well, that's the key. That's what is. That's what's actually happening. They're not running fair elections. They're corrupt.
I was saying, imagine the brazenness and stupidity of mounting a defense when other Democrats are suing the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party's defense actually is, it is not responsible for holding fair elections. Now, who in their right mind would say something like that in a court of law?
That's right. You know, it's so discouraging because, you know, Bernie is playing the same role he played in the elections, which caused us to lose, and he doesn't seem to see it, or else he's doing it purposely. He's purposely putting out these ideals and saying the Democratic Party has to be an idealist party, and we don't. We have to be a realist party. We have to see what's really happening, how we're really being destroyed by the policies that they put forth in the past, and the ideals are destroying us because it's a conflict between what should be and what is, and what should be doesn't exist.
But here's the thing. What would bring your mind to saying something this insane, that it's not the party feeding on itself. It's not the party destroying itself. It is these other things out here floating outside of the party, which we would call issues. No, the party is corrupt.
That's right.
And it is beyond redemption. That's really what he ought to say. It
so
has
Bernie's
reached a point.
Completely false in what he's saying, that this is not why they're losing.
Right.
Not because we're not idealistic enough. We're losing because of what we are. And if not, I'm saying we as Democrats, but we're not really Democrats. But if we were, all right, if he's talking to us and saying we're Democrats, that's not why we're losing. We're not losing because of ideals and idealism. We're losing because of corruption. Because as exactly as you're pointing out, because we're presented with a bait and switch every time. They stick in our face Kucinich, Sanders, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and they say, yes, these are the ideals. Now here's what you really get. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and this is what you really get. But here are the
That's
ideals,
right.
And everybody knows idealism is baloney. And this is what we could deal with reality, you know. And as Hillary was saying in the campaign, I know what the people want. They don't want what Bernie is saying, you know. So this is what we get, and this is why we lose.
We lose because the Democratic Party loses, and somebody at some point soon ought to come clean and say, look, you know, the party systematically has been driven lower and lower into the swamp, if you will, to borrow a favorite phrase of somebody we know. It has become organized crime.
I agree.
the Democratic Party is a cesspool of organized crime. And until somebody recognizes that and admits that and says, listen, we really got to get this thing together, because it would be just a blink of an eye before we lose everything. At least right now, we have 3% left. We should really safeguard the 3% that we have, and with honesty and a forthright message, we work hard at re-earning the trust, because it's the Democratic Party's fault that they've lost so big.
Yes.
They have nobody else. You can't blame Trump. If anything, if the Democratic Party were in ship shape, there is no way a Donald Trump could win. No way.
Right. But I think there's something to also pointing out about this idealism, and that this is not why the people are suffering, that we're not idealistic enough, it's the corruption that exists actually, not the idealism. It's the actual corruption. If we could get rid of the corruption, instead of being idealistic, we should have this. If we get rid of the corruption, we'll have it. We'll have a good society.
But you get rid of the corruption and you get these folks to understand what a party is or should be and how you use the party to reflect the aggregate views and interests of the people who belong to it and who support it. But this party essentially was Hillary Clinton's personal party.
Absolutely.
I can do whatever I want, including clean out its coffers. I can do anything I want.
It's just so cynical, really. I mean, I saw Hillary Clinton on television, interview, and they said, they asked her point blank, why did you go to Goldman Sachs and give, the $250,000 speech? Why did you do that in the middle of, with Bernie there and every, right up, you took off your clothes in front of everybody. Why did you do that? She said, for the money. She shrugged her shoulders.
Of course.
I did it for the money. So cynical. And
yep,
she wants to win the people.
But very real. The thing is, they refuse the party as a party. I don't know when it stopped being a collective party and started being the party of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton personally. But the party became their tools to accomplish their individual agendas. And we still don't know all of the agenda items, but we still know that even in its fractured state, the party is useful still to give them a stage on which to act.
Yes, they're still doing their speeches. They're still collecting their money. They're still in the business of it.
They still are. That's what I'm saying. So they do not have an interest really in building this party. The party became the agency through which they can grow rich and have influence and power and all that. Winning was not important, except personally. The party as an entity, they'll get to the next stage of telling people, well, we lost this time, we'll just do better next time, that kind of thing. Right. But in the meantime, whether they win or they lose, the individual agendas supplanted the entire party.
Yes.
The entire
party's
interests.
And what do you think, what about the space he devoted to the British elections there with Jeremy Corbyn?
Well, he has to say that. He talks about Jeremy Corbyn because it's safe. It's a safe analogy to make. He's not criticizing the British system. He's merely using it to illustrate the possibilities for the Democratic Party if it had the courage to change direction. That doesn't harm him. It doesn't put him in a position of offending anybody, because with everything said, Bernie Sanders has not yet said a thing that is openly critical of the Democratic Party and his role in it.
By the way, he personally, I read it, is amongst the 1% himself. He made $1 million in income personally last year. So, you know, it's kind of, I don't begrudge anybody from earning money and everything. But, you know, to come off with these ideals like this and say that we should be idealistic when we're actually suffering, you know, we're actually living real lives with real things, and he's saying, well, we have a wrong economic system. Well, who's going to change it when you have your Democratic Party members giving speeches in front of Goldman Sachs for their personal income? You know,
right, which is why I said earlier this week that the one thing we are required to do, if we mean ourselves any good, is to get out. Because by staying in, we endorse our own annihilation. We give them permission to continue their stupid ways. We approve of very mediocre leadership. Look, you could be mediocre all on your own. If it came to that, you could be as mediocre as you want all on your own. You don't need to help an institution to cause you to be mediocre. No, you get out until they get their act together. And the fact is, and this is what Sanders should say if he's being truthful, the Democratic Party has inflicted its own fatal wounds. It has done it to itself. They can't come out and tell people what they're not doing. The record shows people have been consistently supportive. And even now, when it has no reason, the people have no reason to be supportive of this bastion of organized crime posing as a party.
So, Eutrice, I'm sorry to stay on the line so long, but I'm interested in your thoughts about this. So here's this party like a dead horse on the ground, and they're trying to give it an injection of this to stimulate it, to get it up on its feet, right? Is it ever going to happen? In your opinion, this is the Democratic Party is like on the ground. It's in the depths now. It's a dead horse, and they're taking hypodermic needles with this, with idealism, with this. They're trying to inject it. They're trying to get personalities. I don't know what that Tom Perez is doing, and the various people on the mainstream press.
Oh, what a sad situation he is.
What?
I think, here's how I think, and it may sound a bit cold. The Democratic Party has been given more than enough help to continue doing good work. And we've reached a point where we have to cut it loose, cut the party loose from us, cut us loose from the party. It has been given the benefit of time, the benefit of doubt, and the benefit of support and money over a long period of time. And yet it continues to underperform. And now we've reached a point, I think, of no return. You can't get your act together. That's too bad. I'll say goodbye. In fact, I did a program.
What are they going to do by 2018? Are they
going to
have any success?
I don't care. And I'm advocating that we should take that position. We don't care. We don't care what you do. Do what you want to do. We're out. We have spotted you for who you and what you are. You don't intend to change, despite our record of consistent support. But you're not changing. It is
right.
Not our job to change you. You
right.
Can't cut it. We got to cut you off
right.
And move on.
But unfortunately, we have this two-party
system. Not voting at all. I'm sorry?
Unfortunately, we have this two-party system, so they keep going back to it as the only alternative.
But you see,
because
we've
also given chances to these third parties, and they've never
You know how I feel about that. I feel the same way about the third parties. I expressed it openly. If you can't get your act together...
They never raise the bar for themselves.
That's their job. Their job is to raise the bar. We will certainly, and the evidence says that, if you are relevant to us, you will get support. If you're
correct.
Doing your job, you will get support. But you can't tell me that the equation remains the same all these years. You just support the party. That's a one-way street. And we no longer should play that game. As I said, I cut out the business of politics, I mean the electoral politics. I refuse to participate. And that's been my position for at least 20 years. I'm not kidding about it.
Right.
If you don't step up to my standard, I'm not going to sink down to yours. You have you have very limited use. And I don't like the idea of supporting less than competent leadership. I don't like it, so I don't do it. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Thanks so much, Michael, for calling. Thank you all for calling. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NBC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. A pleasure always, always to be in your company. We see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.